This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Not all drugs are created equal. Psilocybin, for example, when taken thoughtfully at sub-hallucinogenic levels, can sharpen your focus, hone your mental clarity, unleash your creativity, expand your mind, open your heart, and ease your anxiety. While you shouldn't experiment with those shrooms you got from your brother's sketchy roommate, Schedule 35 takes a science-backed approach to microdosing shrooms. We precisely measure out every dose, we verify the age of every one of our customers, they ship discreetly, and better yet, give you a microdosing regimen that allows you to enjoy the benefits of psilocybin without any of the hallucinogenic effects. Head over to schedule35.co and use coupon code MIGHTY to get 15% off your first order. That's 15% off with code MIGHTY at schedule35.co. That's 15% off at schedule35, schedule35.co.
What's up, shitheads? Welcome back to another episode of High and Mighty. It's me, your boy, the number one fuckboy, Johnny G, standing 6'2", 309 pounds. That's right, this number is high, but these episodes are coming out of order because he bank recorded them, so you don't know if he's yo-yo dieting or just slowly gaining weight, and you'll never find out. All you gotta do is trust me. Jackson Maine from A Star is Born, abortion is healthcare. Thanks for swinging by with that important fact. Also joining me in the High Mighty Studios, my newly silent co-host, Arthur Gabris. Arthur, give him a shout-out. Oh, yeah. That was Macho Man speaking on behalf of Arthur, because Arthur is currently in the other room. Also joining me in the High and Mighty Studios, he's been on the podcast before, but it was a live drunk show that I barely remember, so it's stoked to have him back, the fucking host, the comedian feud himself, it's Jackie Snell.
Hey, what up, what up, what up, what up?
What up, what up, what up, bro. Playa?
That drunk ass show, man, that shit was, I threw up in the shower.
I threw up in my sink and my shower, the sink wasn't going down.
Yeah.
Because we ate them Italian beef. I ate some Italian beef in the lobby, and that fucked me up at like 1 in the morning. I switched to booze. I was like having tequila drinks, and I was like, oh, fuck, man. I was sick as a fucking dog.
It was crazy. I was also like back home, too, so I was extra feeling myself. I'm like, man, I'm back at the crib. Let's get it in. I had to pee so bad. That's the one thing I remember from that show is having to pee halfway through it so fucking bad. And I had to leave the stage. I was like, I have to go. Like, this is crazy.
It's really funny. Listeners of this episode can jump back and listen to the live at the Chicago Improv Festival or podcast. I forget but it's the one with Jack East and Lisa and Arnie Niekamp. Jump back to that, and I don't remember what happened in it. So feel free to surprise us. I hope we were not.
Let us know. Yeah. I think we was good. You know what I'm saying? I think we was all right. We both worked since that.
We're still around.
Yeah.
We haven't been drummed out of society, so you know we're doing okay. The last few times I hung out with you, besides Scam Goddess's live show, we did your show at the Elysian, Comedian Feud, which is a fucking hell of a time, dog. We just straight up play Family Feud, and it's fun as fuck.
Play Family Feud. It's so weird too, man, because like a part of me, like I've had a couple TV appearances, and I do live comedy and all this shit, and like the thing that's like popping off is a property that's already been created. which is funny to me. I think it's so funny. But I love hosting shit, man. I love hosting shit. And I think like the thing I got tired of, and you're a comedian, you get this. And as a producer, I get tired of asking people like, yo, man, can you come do this improv show? Because I'm like, niggas probably tired of me asking them to do an improv show.
Right,
so I'm like,
right.
Yo, come play a game.
Yeah, and people are
playing a fucking game.
Based on who you get to do it, you know that people want to just go play the feud because it's like, when that winners versus losers, that's like 10 banger guests. And yes, I'm including myself in that. But that's some real shit. And like, that's because it's just pure fun. No one has to do their material. You don't have to be like, wait, who else is doing improv? Like, oh, wait, what's the scene? You know, and it's a bit of a machine itself, so you don't have to do mad like plugs. You know, you don't have to message someone and be like, yo, can you retweet the, you know, like you don't have to do that.
Yeah. People,
so that's like the victory there. And it was so much fun.
And I fucking love game shows. I've hosted a few for TV for criminally underwatched game shows. But yeah. I've also been a lifelong fan. I've written for a few game shows. I did like the in-ear host producing for a few game shows.
And that's tight.
Yeah, it's so fucking fun. But watching them, I grew up watching game shows were on all the fucking time, it felt like. I feel like I can't find one now unless I try. But back in the day, Jeopardy was built into my life. The fucking Wheel of Fortune would come on after. If we had the time, we'd throw that on. We'd stay on back to back, like Trebek and Say Jack. Like, we would do all this and like game shows were so fucking integral to my life. And they were like the first reality shows, right? Where you would see like regular people doing shit.
Yeah. For me, it also, like, same thing. Game shows were life. And I'll even take it back. Like, Double Dare, Mark Summers, is what made me want to become an entertainer. Like, I was like, oh, I want to do that. Like, when I was, like, 4 or 5, I would, like, get behind the hamper. That would be my podium. And, like, unroll all the paper towel off the fucking roll so that could be my microphone.
Mom was very happy with that.
She was not happy with that at all. She was like, boy, I'm going to whoop your ass. Like,
is that the Daily Double, Mom? You're like, get out of here.
Is that a physical challenge, Mom?
Yeah, reach into this big nose and see what prize you got.
Yeah. Man, so like
Nickelodeon even had game shows. You're right. Yeah. I didn't even think of that. Like game shows aimed at kids. Yeah. Wild and Crazy Kids.
That was like
Kids.
The start of their shit. Wild and Crazy Kids. You can't say this on television. It was more like a sketch game show, but like Double Dare, Finders Keepers, Legends of the Hidden Temples.
Oh, Guts. Fuck, yes.
Bro.
Guts.
I did Grand Crew. Guts. I did Grand Crew. And Michael O'Malley has written shows, sold shows, directed, acted. And like the first thing I said to him was like, Guts. Because he was in the episode I was in.
Oh, that's so awesome. And let's go to Mo with the leaderboard. Oh, thank you, Mike.
Hell yeah, bro. Hell yeah, bro. Shit was great. Game shows were amazing, man. They were, like you said, the first reality shows. They were fun. It's fun competition.
Because I think what people like about reality, I think a small part of, you know, we're also, as a society, myself included, becoming more already narcissistic, but becoming more and more that, more and more self-centered. And I think people like these reality shows because they're like, that's what me and my friends are like. If you filmed me and my friends, it would be just like Vanderpump. We're fun, we're sassy, we're party. And then I think also, and I don't want to get into this because I'll just be wrong or like lampooned by everyone, but I think some people are like basing their personalities on reality shows a little too much. Like
too
everyone's
much.
Like, I'm the drama one out of my friends. I'm like, then you wouldn't be my fucking friend. I don't need a drama friend. Like
people that's like, oh, I'm petty. And I'm like, that's not some shit to be aspired to be.
Right.
Like, stop. Yeah. I don't want to be around petty people who like being petty.
Oh, that's just Taylor. He's a sassy asshole. And it's like, okay, that's not fun to be around.
That's not fun at all. Also, I would get mad as hell if somebody like woke me up in the crib, like banging pots and pans and shit. I'm like, yeah, you remember that clip? Like the woman who was like banging pots and pans, like to wake everybody up. I'd be like, I would shoot you.
Yeah, you throw a drink in my face. I'm never hanging out with you again, no matter how much episode rate is. But game shows kind of did the same thing to us, right? Like you'd be like, oh shit, if I was on American Gladiators, I would do, if I was on Guts, I would dominate the crag. I would always just bet it all on Daily Doubles. Like, you know, everyone has their own strategy. And that's something, the power of the game show a little bit is like, here's this normie ass fuck who's like, and from Kansas, we have a, you know, wind engineer. And you're just like this weirdo. Yeah. And you're like, that could be me. And I could win $10,000. I could win money. Like, and like that, there's something special about that you could put yourself in that headspace and be like, maybe it's my time, you know?
It's pretty dope. I was on The Price is Right with Bob Barker, actually, which is a whole, like, The Price is Right is, like, the quintessential game show. Like, that's the one we all watched with our grandparents, or that's the one we all watched when we didn't go to school that day.
Homesick from school, just on every fucking day,
Like, Bob Barker, we'll talk to, like, our parents, and I have a young family, so even my grandparents, and they'll be like, Bob Barker been old since I was a kid. Like, so Bob Barker was like, everybody grew up with Bob Barker, like, and so like getting on The Price is Right with Bob was so fucking dope. I was 19 years old. It was so fucking dope. But like, I would watch it all the time and be like, I could do that. I can do that. I can do that. And then you get on that stage and you're like, this shit is hard.
Right. And then you realize,
fucking harder.
Bro, the same shit happened to me. I was on Cash Cab. And when I thought I was going to fucking dominate because I watched Cash Cab and dominated all the time. Then I'm like, all right, I'm going okay. And I fucking lost. And they just like left me on the side of the road. I was like, all right, peace the fuck out. And it was mad humbling.
It's crazy.
But
it is, dude.
There's something powerful about, and you said Bob Barker. Like, let's talk a little bit about hosts. They really make or break a game show. You know what I mean? Like, they 100%. Add a certain levity. And Bob had some sort of weird superpower that.
Yeah.
And no one could really ever understand it. And then Happy Gilmore kind of just explained to us what Bob's deal was. It's just like, he's so even keeled that watching him not be Bob Barker, the TV host, is fucking wildly entertaining.
Yeah. It's so entertaining. It's just also cool. Like, look, I was just on Celebrity Family Feud. And Steve Harvey is also like really dope. But like the thing about game show hosts now is like you almost have to be famous already to be a game show host, which is kind of disappointing because like sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But like there is I was talking to a friend and she was like, oh, game show host is just nothing but like improv. And I was like, yeah, but it's not an improv show. And she was like, but it is. And I was like, no, like the category is they're fucking hosts. Right.
Right.
And like Bob Barker was a host. Like, that was what he did, and he was good at it, right? And at the episode of Price is Right, he used to film it like a live show, even though it wasn't live. So, like, a lot of the shit, like, you've been to Feud, like, a lot of the shit, like, I try to do kind of, like, based off of that notion, where it was like, this, like, for the audience, like, This is a show. I want you to feel like this was like a TV taping.
We'll suck some fat show. Out of it in post, but for now, we're going to make this shit feel
this
as live as possible.
Show. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and it was tight. So like during the commercial breaks, he would just talk to the audience and he would go fucking buck wild talking to the audience, talking about groupies and shit. And then like they would be like, all right, 10 seconds. And he was just such a professional. And he would be like, he not gonna wrap this shit up. He not gonna wrap this shit up. It's 3 seconds left. And then the red light will come on. Welcome back to the next item up for bid. I'm like, this dude is such a fucking professional. He's such a pro.
It's like a bygone job. Like it's not a profession really anymore. Now it's like, oh, are you famous? Do you also want to work 2 days a week and bang out 25 episodes and we'll put them up?
Yeah.
You know, like we'll strip them out or whatever. And so many people take that job. But back in the day, it would be like, this person is a presenter. Like you said, Bob can riff.
Yes.
He can do all the shit that needs to. Like, wow, that's actually an interesting number you chose. Like he could do the light sarcasm of like, really? $305. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like, but he also can stand and deliver, which is like the hardest part of this shit. It's like,
that's the hardest part.
Taking that shit seriously. It's hard to be serious when you're like, and the showcase showdown is... Raymore and Flanagan's sectional couch. Like to say that shit like it matters, you know? Like that's the hard part. Now I've hosted some bad game shows and some fun ones. Like I hosted a game show called The Substitute, which was like on MTV, and I played a substitute teacher and I surprised the kids that they were actually on
this
a game
is great.
Show. And it's such a fucking fun premise dealing with all young kids, but it is. Yes, you're getting a riff and do jokes, but that shit barely makes it because there's so much gameplay that has to go in. I did a game show where they changed the price. They changed the point values in post after it was shot to make the game a little better. And, you know, they didn't like make the winner now lose or whatever, but they were just like, we have to keep it a little tighter. This is too much. So I had to ADR. ADR like all the points, and I'm like, this is not fun at all. This isn't improv. This isn't interesting. This isn't electric.
Yeah,
and I'm like, but this is part of the fucking job, and that just like, there's so much shit that goes into hosting a game show, like keeping track of rules, like, and someone's in your ear going like, now you got to go back to the other team and and remember this is the they have a chance to steal now if they get third or like.
Yeah.
You do it when you host Comedian Feud, but if you watch these game shows, it might not all make it into the final cut of the episode, But almost every single time something changes, the host is like, all right, just a reminder, blue team, you have 7, red team, you have 4. All you need to get it is this next answer here and ready and let's go, round 3. And then it's like, all right, blue team, you have 7, red team, you have 5. It's round 4. Like, you just have to keep doing that so that the horse race of it all is what, like, the producers will call it. Like, keep everyone, because maybe you'll lose in both, but you'll might need that at some point. So you find yourself being, like, insanely, and then you find yourself, like, developing weird things of, like, weird gestures that you're doing, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my god, I'm becoming the character of the host of the show. I'm like, all right, steal to you, and you're like, okay, I guess I'm gonna do that every time now. Like, it's it's like, and then you think back and you're like, right, fucking Bob Barker did that, Trebek did his weird thing, Sajak did
Richard Dawson with the fucking the original Family Feud, the lip kiss. It all becomes a part of it, bro. Like, when I host the feud, like, I did kiss me on the lips.
We should just say
I did.
Backstage, I asked for it. It was all above board.
I only kissed the men on the lips because Dawson only did the women. So I'm like, we're going to flip this. We only doing the men, man. We bringing it in for everybody. I hope people know. And like you guys, know, like, as, you know, peers and colleagues and people who play the game. But I hope, like, the audience knows, like, how much work goes into a game show. Like, it's so much fucking work. And hosting the show, like, the shit I have to remember. And then also, like,
what James is doing. I mean, forget, like,
what James is doing. It's crazy, bro. I can't, like, when people think I just be saying that shit, when I say I literally cannot do the show without him. I cannot do the show without him at all. Like, what
for listeners, they got legit buzzers. James has got the fucking app running up there. He's like fucking. Yeah.
He built that shit.
That's fucking crazy.
Yeah, he built that shit from scratch. That's like a computer program he's running from his computer up there that he built from scratch.
Sick.
The colors, everything. Like, we put it all together. Like, I gave him all the sound cues and how it's supposed to work and like how the game works and shit like that. Like, he built all that shit. But the one thing that people don't realize, too, and as comedians, like, we perform a lot. Like, I can go up and do an hour and a half of comedy and be fine. I'm exhausted after I do feud. Like, I'm exhausted.
Well,
like,
hosting a game show is a little bit like waiting tables and or like bartending in that way, where you're like, have to make sure everything is like you're like in charge of a little more than you should be of, like, you know what I mean? And like, it's not like you have like a state, especially at the Elysian, you don't have like a stage director that's like, all right, and blue team, your turn, or whatever. And like, winner team, your. But even in real game shows, like, someone's just in your ear, like, actually, you got to take that from the top. And then you have to like turn to the fucking contestant. You're like, we're going to just do that again from the top. If you like, you know, I'm just going to like, and you have to like justify yourself. And you're like, and then there's a level of exhaustion when you're dealing with 10 comedians who are trying to undercut the game and trying to fuck with you and trying to make it more frustrating. Yeah. But you just keep the fucking charm on, but you got to keep going. You're like, okay, now Dan Black, we need an answer that makes sense.
Need an answer. Yeah. Like, you got to keep it moving too. Like, it's a happy, fun medium too. Like, and I love it. I tell everybody, like, go for it, whatever. I'll keep the game on track. I'm confident that I'll keep the game on track. I'm all right. Like, but it does get it not hard. It's the wrong answer, but like, I do sometimes be like, all right, y'all, shit.
Come on, we only have the show is 22 minutes when it airs on TV. It's 90 minutes live, so let's keep it
90 minutes live. Let's fucking keep it moving. Let's keep it fucking moving. Like,
but
I
then
feel
you,
like
it
I
gives
need
you
to
a newfound
help.
Respect for these guys and gals that host these shows, right? Like, you're all of a sudden like, shit, man. What one of my favorite game shows growing up was Press Your Luck, the No Whammies, No Whammies, No Whammies, Stop.
It's like, the most exciting game show on TV. Still.
Dude.
Like, Elizabeth Banks hosts, like, the one now, and I watch it sometimes, and I'm like, this shit is still exciting as fuck.
Because there's a randomness to it that isn't in a lot of other games. Like, there's just that level of randomness of, like, when someone's like, ooh, 400 and a spin, it's like, that's actually better than 1,000 because you can get another, you know, like, and you get like, you got all your own strategies and shit you want. Like, you're like, oh, man. Like, and that's the thing. Those are the game shows you dream of being on, too. Like, Jeopardy, I'm a smart enough guy.
I'm too fucking dumb.
Yeah, but I wouldn't do well there. But like, press your luck, I might be able to fucking swing some shit. So like, let
you
me
can swing
fucking...
some shit. You take some risks. Yo, have you seen the documentaries about the motherfuckers that cheat? The dude who like figured out it was like the original game wasn't random of press your luck.
No, he like videotaped like hundreds of hours of the show and like memorized the pattern that the fucking thing jumped around on. That's fucking great. Like that's more work than just getting good at something. Like it's easier to just become good at. It's easier to just get smart and do Jeopardy than it is to like memorize the pattern of fucking. But that
dude
was fucking
awesome.
Price
is Right too.
What? Oh,
he,
right,
like,
yeah.
He, there's the documentary. He, like, he knew all the prices. And he like, kept a spreadsheet and, like, knew all the prices for all the prizes and shit. And he went up and just dominated. And, like, in the grand scheme of things, like, he didn't do anything wrong. There was no rule
right?
against it.
Well, it's kind of like counting cards, right? Where it's like an implied rule, but there's really nothing you could do. The guy just studied the game so well.
He just studied the game.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and it's funny, like, on shows like that, it's like, oh, he cheated. And what? He got a pair of jet skis?
he won the showcase
showdown? Okay, sorry, ABC, you lost your fucking jet ski money.
Yeah, and also, like, give it to him, because he did that back in the day when, like, you had to show up still, because it was random. It used to be random how they brought you to the stage. Like, you didn't know you was going to be on the show for Price is Right. I think in that documentary, it was like, this motherfucker came, like, 8-9 times before he finally made it on the show. And then when he did, he went for it, and he got it. And he didn't win, like, that big of prizes. I'm like, all right, if you cheat and get to, like, $1 million on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire... Like, maybe Regis Philbin can take you to the back and give you a 1-2 piece, right?
Yeah,
like,
you're like, all right. Put your head in a vice, like casino.
Right. But if you just cheat, you in a couch and a refrigerator and, like,
right. Let the motherfucker have his sectional.
Let the motherfucker have his sectional. He all right.
Everybody relax. Let him have his vacation to Florida, okay?
Right, yeah. Let him go see the space launch. It's fine. He's fine.
Win, lose, or draw, like the Pictionary game show. That was a really fun one. Like,
oh, shit. I never watched that one.
Yeah, that was just pretty much what Pictionary was, but like live on. There was one called Concentration, which was like that.
Yeah.
Like the little things would come off, and then it would be a rebus, which is like one of those puzzles, like screw plus a horseshoe. And you're like, screw you. And you're like, yeah, you got it or whatever. But that one was really fun because that was like sort of like you could play along at home easier than you could on like Hollywood Squares or some shit like that. You know?
Hollywood Squares was, I've been thinking, it's like somebody asked me like, yo, if you was to do another game show, like somebody asked me like, yo, you know what you should do, Jacquees? You should just like be the dude in LA who hosts versions of game shows for comedians. And I was like, that's a lot of work, but could be fun if I didn't have to do work but just come and host. But the two that I want to do is Pyramid and Hollywood Squares. Hollywood Squares. I don't know how it would work because you need the actual fucking 50-foot like game board that all
you
the
would
celebrities
need, like,
sit in.
You could cheat it with risers. You would need like 3 rows of 3, and then like you just have to like
that's a good idea.
Dress the stage a certain way. I think MTV2 around the time when I was doing mad shit for like Guy Code and Wild and Out and stuff. I think they did Hip Hop Squares over there too.
Yeah.
I think I remember it being a thing. I don't, because I remember I wanted to get invited, but it was like I wasn't that much of a talent. I mean, I was more MTV2, like, yes, put me on all the black comedy shows, but I don't think you could be on the Hip Hop Square. You're not like,
yeah, maybe
not fair enough.
Maybe not the Hip Hop Squares. Maybe not the Hip Hop Squares.
We'll let you hang out a while now with people who do hip hop, but you are not going to be on Hip Hop Squares. That's a
You'd
bridge
be on
too
Hip-Hop
far.
Squares, sitting next to Charlamagne.
Give me them greens. What's up? I take AG1 every morning before I even make myself coffee, and it makes me feel ready to take on my day. You know, I'm doing something good for my body. First baby step in a day of taking baby steps in order to give myself the best health. So this all-in-one formula makes it easy for me to cover my nutritional bases every day. because it's hard for me to jam down a bunch of pills first thing in the morning. So for me, if I want to get my 75 vitamins, minerals, and a whole food sourced ingredients of the highest quality, I like to drink them with one scoop of powder mixed with water once a day, first thing in the morning, right down there on the old empty stomach. It's delivered to me every month, so it's been super easy to make a daily habit. And you know how I feel about creating a healthy daily habit, because it's easy once you do that one healthy thing for another healthy thing to make another healthy choice, to make another healthy choice. And there you are, going to bed early, ready to rock because you've been making healthy choices all day long. If you're looking for an easier way to take supplements, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. Go to athleticgreens.com/mighty. That's athleticgreens.com/mighty. Check it out. Hollywood Squares was a fun one too. Well, that was another thing too. Like you said it earlier, like your grandma, game shows were like one of the few things that were like cross-generational. Like when we were younger, more shit was cross-generational because there was just less shit for kids in general.
That's true.
And like
That's
your true. Parents weren't going to watch kid shit. They were like, no, I'm a right. grown up. Now it's like, I watch Bluey with my kid every Saturday. You're like, great. My dad was not even around on Saturdays.
My dad wasn't around Sunday through Sunday.
Yeah, he wasn't around much Monday through Sunday.
He wasn't around the rest of the week either.
But you used to watch like old game shows. Like you saying Hollywood Squares, like when we were kids, I feel like I was watching Hollywood Squares repeats. Like I was like, I don't know who any of these celebrities are, but I'm having a field day. There's always something about. And now podcasts are sort of are that and like ate the lunch of all that. But back in the day, shit where like celebrities seem to be having fun with each other, like Match Game and Hollywood Squares and like Battle of the Network Stars, or even later on in life, Jon Favreau had that show on IFC called Dinner for Five.
Oh, yes, like, yes, yes.
And like that shit was just like, now that's all podcasts are. It's like, yes, we can have actors. We can hear actors being themselves on conversation. But back in the day, like you would just see that. You'd be like, I don't know who Shadow Stevens is, but man, is he having fun with these guys or whatever.
He's
you
having
know
fun.
I mean? Yeah.
He's having fun like a motherfucker. Like I would watch Match Game and like, I don't know none of these motherfuckers. I know what's the dude? Nipsey Russell. Like, I know Nipsey Russell, you know, or Betty White. I know Betty White. But I was watching all that shit. Like, my first Family Feud host was Richard Dawson. And, like, as a kid, that was, like, nothing. But as an adult, I'm like, that motherfucker was retired by the time I was watching. Like, so I was watching reruns of Richard Dawson.
Because then we had Ray Combs for a while.
Yeah. We had Ray Combs for a while. And
who I think
himself.
Tried to kill himself. Yeah, or killed.
He did kill himself. Yeah, he succeeded.
And the survey says he did.
He did it.
Success, the bad kind.
Success. Yes. He was successful. But yeah, Ray Combs, that was the one that was like when we were shorties, he was the host of Family Feud
and
shit.
And now Steve Harvey fucking crushes it, man. He's so
bro. Good. He's good, man. That nigga, I would love to get to a point when I do feud where like none of you see me until I walk on stage, which is why like I don't get changed until like I talk to everybody. So like when you see me in my suit for the first time, it's like it's on stage because I love that aspect of like just game shows and theater and shit like that in general.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, so we did Celebrity Family Feud. Now these are like, I mean, I'm not a celebrity, but like, to the normal viewing audience, like I've been on television, you know? So like we're 10 people who've been on TV, who have had like entertainment careers and shit like that. Lapkus, Paul F. Tompkins, Paul Scheer, like it was a bunch of us. And like Steve Harvey literally walked out for the first time when the music came on, didn't speak to any of us, and left when the shit was over. And I'm like, that's boss shit.
That's a fucking pro. He doesn't give a fuck.
That's a pro. He's like, I don't give a fuck who none of y'all are, bro. Like,
did he know that you did Comedian shit. Feud? Did that come up?
Bro, they did know. It's crazy. Like they,
I mean, I don't think you're taking any money off of them.
I'm not, but my lawyer was like, don't say shit my guy. And so I was like, okay, I won't. And then, because I talked to her about it, and she was like, yeah, I would probably not mention it on television. And then, like, in the trailers, the producer came and was like, all right, so when Steve introduces you, what do you want him to say? You want him to say Grand Crew, Physical, and Comedian Few? And I was like, it was like, oh, yeah, we know. Like, the producers know. He knows. Like, I was like, oh, shit. I was like, he don't have to, because I was still, like, operating on, like, my lawyer was like, no.
Yeah, and also you don't want him to, like, for some reason get offended, like, oh, you're stealing my shit, like, you know.
Yeah, but you're trying to steal my shit. But apparently he knew. So, like, he didn't mention it on the actual, like, show, because I told them to take it out. But according to the producers know, and according to the producers, like, he knew of the show.
Oh,
and,
that's
like,
cool.
It was going to be, it was originally in my intro that he was going to say that, like, I asked him to, like, just change.
Ah, nice.
Which is pretty fucking tight.
Yeah, that's fucking rad. Also, yeah. did he get any of his, like, classic Harvey-isms? Like,
bro,
what do you sit on when you're feeling sad? And it's like, oh, yeah. You know, like, this crazy, yeah. Where it's just a lob to something dirty, like, yeah. Always, yeah.
Dick, I can't believe you said that. Yeah, people will see the episode. It might even, like, come out before this comes out, but, like, we talk about some titties, you know? Me and Steve talk about some boobs.
The dream. Talking with one of the OG kings of comedy about titties. Come on.
it was tight, man. He even smelled good. Like, dude came through, and I was just like, this motherfucker smells good. He looks good. Like, he just commands the stage. He's got it.
He's obviously a fucking legend, and yes,
yeah.
he is in, like, autopilot mode on this show, but he adds
100%
so much flavor to it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, he adds so much comedy to it. Obviously the producers are doing a hell of a job getting these questions and categories that have, like, always, like, an innuendoous answer of, like, places to hide a flashlight when going through security, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Someone's going to say, bro, my asshole.
And he's still very much like an old black ass uncle. And very much a comedian. Like, at the end of the show, I not knowing when this comes out or not, or when my episode drops, so I can't, like, give outcome away. But let's just say, like, after Fast Money, not saying who won or who made it to Fast Money, but, like, both teams congregate, like, SNL style, as, like, the credits are rolling and shit like that. And so, like, we're talking, and there is a Fast Money question that he didn't like about managers, like, acting managers and shit, or who's important to, like, entertainers. And the number one answer was, like, managers, which, whatever, who gives a shit? They won't say anything if I say that. And, like, he comes to me after the episode, like, during the episode, during the shit where you can't hear what he's saying. And he, like, comes right up to me, was like, this is the dumbest fucking answer I've ever heard in my goddamn life. And it was like, he started talking shit about managers. So when you see the episode and you see him talk, maybe I should say, I don't give a fuck. But, like, when you see him talking to me, he's going to, like, that's what he's saying.
Oh, that's awesome.
I was like, this is great. This is great.
That's so awesome. He's such a fucking legend, man. That's so cool to get to do that.
Yeah.
I never got to meet, like, a lot of the big ones from when I was a kid. But, you know, you said Legends of the Hidden Temple earlier, and I had not forgotten about that until, like, that moment you mentioned it.
Yeah.
I had, like, not thought about Olmec and the
Olmec
Blue Lizards or whatever the fuck, all the weird team
and
names.
The fucking, them goddamn, like, temple trolls or whatever they call them, the motherfuckers.
Yes.
Who would be grabbing people? Nobody could ever do the Silver Monkey, could ever put that three-piece monkey shit together.
Right. There was those game shows where you were like, no one's ever made it past this part. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no one's,
like,
ever done
this. People are so bad at this. Yeah.
Oh.
It's crazy. I would love. I got to do a Double Dare Live once. Mark Summers came and did a tour right before the pandemic. Double Dare Live. And I was like, I have to go. I have to fucking go. And, like, I didn't get a chance to do, like, the actual game. But, like, he was doing, like, you remember he used to also, I don't know if you remember this, Mark Summers used to also host a game show called What Would You Do?
Yeah.
And, so he was doing games like that. Yeah, what would you do?
Wait, that was like there was the chair with the pie-o-matic, right? Like where you get something wrong and the pie would get a little closer and stuff like that.
Bro, yes. And it was amazing. And like I got on stage for that and I got to like tell him like, man, you're the reason I'm an actor, bro. Like, which is dope because I don't get to say that to who. How often do you get to say that to the person who actually like got you, made you want to become an entertainer, right?
And how often does Mark Summers probably even hear that? He's probably not a lot of people's
probably never
to get into it. Yeah. So that's fucking rad that you got to tell him.
And I got pied in the face, bro. I got pied in the face on stage.
Oh, hell yeah.
and it was the highlight of my fucking life, bro.
That's so awesome. And I'm sure a lot of people know this at this point, but something that I remember when I heard as a kid that Mark Summers is like a neat freak, like a
he has OCD.
He's got OCD about cleanliness.
He has like, yeah.
And all his game shows were like, you know, like
filthy,
messy boogers, like pool, kiddie pools full of slime and shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, dude,
yeah.
I just remember wanting to dress like the Double Dare contestants. I thought they looked so fucking cool in their jumpsuits and pads and shit. And like, I thought like that made them look like fucking like special forces or some shit. And I just wanted that.
Yeah, it did.
It looked like Rebel pilots from Star Wars, which I thought was the coolest outfit you could possibly have, with like the helmet.
Because they had the helmets and shit, too. Yeah. Bro, for one year for Halloween, I went as a contestant of Legends of the Hidden Temple. I still have the like t-shirt and like the helmet and like the actual like name tag that they used to use. It was tight, bro.
That's fucking awesome. That's really funny. Yeah. That's a great costume idea, too. Contestant
it
is
was.
A very, yeah, yeah.
It was me and my ex at the time went as like two contestants of the Silver Monkey, the Green Monkeys, I think was our team name. I don't know.
You mentioned Pyramid before. Pyramid was one that I always thought as a kid was kind of boring and didn't work for me.
Same.
But then when I got older, I was like, oh, it's like a fucking improv game in like the funnest way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Same. I didn't love Pyramid. I don't even remember who the host. I think Dick Clark was the host or some shit of Pyramid. But like, yeah, actually Michael Strahan does Pyramid now. And I watch it sometimes and I'm like, this is fun. I would like to do that. You should be on Pyramid. You should definitely 100% do Pyramid, bro.
I feel like I should be. I got to meet. Yeah. My dad used to work news at Fox 5 back in the day in New York, and he would always bring me in when he knew like athletes or celebrities I liked. So when Strahan was coming on, he was like, "You come to work with me. We'll meet. I'll introduce you to Strahan." And he's like, "You know, Michael, this is my son. He actually plays defensive end too." And I like put out my hand to shake Strahan's hand, and I'll never forget this. He shook my hand, and his fingers touched on the other side of my hand. Like, hand was just so big that like I could fully engulfed my hand, and I was like,
right. He's not
nice
a short guy.
No, I'm not like, small.
Yeah. You're not like a,
is
a small hands.
Boy. Yeah.
That's a big ass boy. That's tight. Your dad used to do one of my favorite things to do whenever I'm like depressed or sad is watch like news bloopers.
Oh, dude. I think news bloopers is the best category of bloopers of all time because
it's the best shit.
News people don't normally have a sense of humor about themselves. So, like, it hits them extra hard when they fuck up. And the tone of news is so frequently so serious that when a news blooper pops off, it is. Tell me some of your favorites. I'll start with one of my favorites. It's just like,
yes.
She may be Jenny from the block, but she still sucks cock. like talking about J-Lo, he like just slips up or like Freudian slips that he's so horny for her. And like he gets so melty, he starts getting so nervous. It's mad funny.
Yes. Oh, dude, I got so many. My favorite one right now, like I almost want you to watch it. Like it is so funny. It is about a pig that doesn't have back legs whose owner names him Crispy Bacon. And the newscaster cannot get through the story, bro.
Oh, when they're fucking, when they get the giggle fits, it is so fucking fun. Like that shit rules. There was one time a guy, they were like, and he climbed Mount Everest, and he the dude was blind, and he's like, while being gay, I mean blind. I think the dude was also gay. It was just like such a funny way to do it. He climbed Mount Everest while gay. I mean blind.
I mean blind. He was blind. Bro, there was one newscaster, and it was probably a typo on the teleprompter, but it was like, check your panties, the rice cookers. And then he catches, like, I think that's supposed to say pantries. They're all cracking up because he was like, check your panties in like the most proper articulate way.
Yeah, because they over enunciate every, like, they're all trying to be so self serious and over enunciate stuff. So when they fuck up or when they do something goofy or dirty, it hits extra hard. Yeah. And then when they, it's like church a little bit. So when they start laughing, it's hard to stop because you're not supposed to be like laughing through the story.
You're not supposed to. It is so funny, man. News bloopers are my favorite. You're right. They are the best bloopers.
They just hit so hard, man. There's something about them. Like when they have to, you know, like when they have to like follow up with what they said, like they're like, okay, bro, that was clearly wrong in the prompter and we're moving on.
Have you seen the one like when they lose it, like the black dude who was out in the country and a fucking like fly or some shit like flew in his mouth. So he was like, we're here. And then something flew in his mouth. Like, I can't take this shit no more. Like he turned, like you could tell, like it's the epitome of code switching. Like he was like he was the proper black dude. And then when that fly, he was like, I can't take this motherfucking shit no more, niggas. Like. Man. That shit kills me every fucking time, dude. It kills me every time.
Because it's like a little reminiscent of when you would make a teacher flip out a little and the teacher accidentally like let their mask slip of like, all right, class, now, well, God damn it, Gabrus, knock it off. You know, and you're like, oh, and you're like, yeah, I see. We cracked the code here.
We cracked it. Bro, I have so much, more respect for teachers from like my past. Now as an adult, I remember I had a teacher, Miss O'Toole, third grade, meanest fucking teacher in the world. And I remember one time she came and like there was one day where she just like had her head down on the desk and like was like, I just got a headache, blah blah blah. And we don't know what's going on. We in third grade. Another day she comes and she was like, I need to tell you guys, you this class something. You guys are getting into the age, you stink. You need to wear deodorant. You need to start wearing deodorant, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, and now as an adult, I'm like, oh, she was 100% hungover those things. Because she had to be in her mid-20s. Like, which, and third grade was old. But now I'm like, she's in her mid-20s. She's not older than 30. She's hungover, and she's coming to school with these stinky-ass kids. Her senses are fucking, like on fire.
I got some teachers in my family, and it wasn't until I was like in my late 20s and they were teaching at the junior high I went to, and they were like, yeah, we go to happy hour at this bar near the junior high. I'm like, oh my God, imagining all my teachers going to happy. And of course they did.
Bro, yeah.
Like,
because
they were colleagues. And like, but at the time, like, you didn't picture them having a life outside the class. Like,
bro.
You run into like your fucking social studies teacher at the grocery store and it feels fucking crazy. You're like,
it
what?
Feels weird.
Mrs. Corn, what are you doing here? You need food? You don't just eat at the cafeteria at lunch or whatever?
Ugh. You know they was doing all types. They was probably fucking. Like, they was.
Dude, we got wind that two of our teachers were fucking. Like, the one of the hot female teachers and one of the hot male teachers that all the girls love.
Of course.
So, like, once we found out they were fucking, it was just like nonstop. Everyone was like, so. And I mean, you know, like, you're in ninth grade, everything is horny, right? Like, you're just fucking, anything sounds fucking hot. And then you're like, the hot male teacher's fucking the hot girl teacher. I can't handle it.
Yeah, bro. I'll say this too, man. Like, this is probably, well, I don't remember her name, but like there was definitely a couple teachers in high school when I was like a junior and senior that I was like, they fucking students. Like, they fucking students. Like, they were just, again, I'm not saying no names, and I'm also want to say this loud and clear. I never fucked a teacher, okay?
So let me say that loud and clear. In case you're wondering how I might know.
Let me say that loud and clear. I never fucked a teacher. You ain't got to start going back through my history and trying to find a teacher who, you know, took advantage of young Jacquees. But, like, there was this one teacher who, like, I probably could have fucked. And she, like, I remember, like, she sat me next to her desk. Like she may see the assignments, and like she may, I was sitting next to her desk, and like we had a test one day, and I'd like just said like, oh fuck, I need to study for this test. And like 2 minutes later, like she like takes the answer key and like just kind of like places it on the desk where I can see, and then like leaves the room for like 5-10 minutes. And I like look and I'm like, did she just leave the fucking shit? I'm about to cheat like a motherfucker. And I like I cheated. I got every answer right. She had to do that on purpose, bro. She did that on 100%. She literally took the answer key from a stack of papers and placed it down like in my eye shot where I could like see the fucking answers to the test. And I'm like, these teachers was on one, bro.
I had a student teacher for my English class in like 10th grade or 11th grade who was very, very pretty and clearly only like a senior in college, like not like because she was right. A student teacher. And we made her like a goodbye card and everyone was like, thank you, Miss Solidi. Thank you, Miss. Like, and I just wrote, I'm 16 now. I'll be 18 on January 31st, 2000. And I put my fucking cell phone number down, and I was 16.
Yes,
I still have that same cell phone number.
Like, oh, it's shit.
She never called. I mean, I got some maybe spams that could be her, but she never reached out.
Maybe.
But I straight up was like, I'm in love with this teacher. I'm gonna,
of course,
I'm gonna just ask. And I was always into like older chicks, and like I still am. But like making older women laugh, like, was my fucking, you know, my drug, my cocaine. So
yeah,
making these like hot female teachers laugh, when I mean, even making the male teachers laugh made me go, but like, I'd be like, oh shit, Mrs. Korn, Miss Steinberg, these cuties, mm-hmm, I'm going to fucking crack them open in class. And they're like, Gafris. And I'm like,
yeah,
yeah!
Stop it. You're so silly, Jackies.
Yeah, that, dude, I swear to God, if I walked out to do my comedy special and it was all like 40 and 50 something female like hot teachers, I would have the best fucking hour of comedy you ever heard. I could step it up so much for beautiful women. It's insane. I'm like, my brain is so brokenly hetero that I'm like,
yeah,
I would be even funnier. It's like, men like your comedy. I'm like, but I just want to make ladies laugh.
I just want to make the authority figures laugh too.
Yeah. I want them to want to be mad at me because I'm being a wise ass, but they can't because I'm just too funny and cute.
You're just too funny and cute. You're too funny and cute, bro. Same. Is it fucked? Man, it is fucked up. It is fucked up that like whenever I see like, you know, student teacher relationships like online, like in the news or whatever, and like those teachers deserve to like the punishment they get, but then there's a part of me that will also be like, I get why a homie was like, hell yeah, bro.
I'm like, I'm jealous. Yeah,
I'm
it's
jealous,
so fucked
man.
Up. Yeah, and you're like jealous. You're like, oh, that's pedophilia. Up. You're like, oh, right.
Yeah. it is. It 100% is. What movie was that where Ellie Kemper was fucking like one of her? Oh, 21 Jump Street.
Oh, right, yeah.
And like, it turns out that he wasn't
he's
an adult, so it's okay. But she wanted to fuck him, thinking he was like a senior in high school.
Right.
and so, like, when that moment popped up at the end, where he's just like clapping them cheeks, like, it was so fucking funny.
I know someone who went to in their school, in their high school senior year, a teacher had sex with two students and they videotaped it. There was like a video of the threesome, like, that they had at like a party. They like got drunk with a teacher like after school at one of the kids' houses and like secretly filmed them having sex with her or whatever.
Oh, it's shit. Like, well, that's
fucking
bad.
That's real bad. But that's a fucking crazy situation.
That's crazy situation. Yeah.
But if you told me that shit when I was 16, I would have been like, nah, like, I can't handle
like,
that.
Oh,
why can't it be me?
Why didn't you invite me? it is.
Do you think
it
you
is.
Said
some, fucked up.
You said something earlier, just to jump back to game shows and off fucking our teachers. You said something earlier that kind of, do you think part of our game show nostalgia, and I'm assuming a lot more people, but just using you and I as examples here, do you think part of it is, it was like the stay home from school sick kind of shows too. And like,
yeah,
that was maybe early on in life when you were left alone because, you know, we had working parents or whatever, or you, like, not going to school was a huge victory because school sucked so much. So like getting to be home, and then you're like, there isn't anything that you really want to watch. So then you put on Price is Right and you're like, well, this is actually kind of cool. And then you're like, well, next time I'm home. You know, it's like when you fly Delta and you're like, I wouldn't eat these fucking cookies if someone paid me to eat them. But when you're on the Delta flight, you're like, oh, I'm looking forward to having these dumb Delta cookies. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Pass the biscuits.
This golf's pretty good.
Yeah, right.
So like, I wonder, bro.
Because I have such a nostalgic feeling towards game shows, and I'm thinking like when I watched them the most was like weekday sick home from school. Also, those were, as I got older, the record setting days for jerking off in one day was also like, stay home. Like, all right, I can do school. Six at 17 years old.
Six today. Yeah. Yeah. I think so, bro. Like, also because like it's weird because the game shows that we would watch with our, like, if our moms or grandparents were still home when we were home from school would be with the hosts that were old as shit, like Bob Barker, Richard Dawson, Match Game, Dick Clark. All those motherfuckers were old as shit, right? But then the ones that came on in primetime when we were either done with our homework or didn't have homework or... were all like the younger hosts, like Pat Sajak. Pat Sajak is old now, but he was young when we were kids.
Right, 30 and years like, ago. Yeah, fucking Trebek. Yeah. Like they weren't.
And Trebek.
They weren't old freaks yet. Like they are, you know,
and then even like the Nickelodeon shows. Like that's the beauty about Nickelodeon back in the day. Because like, yeah, the kid shows were better and like more. They were more like family shows than like straight up kid shows. Like, my mom would watch Rugrats and be just okay with it. And, like, I'll watch Rugrats now and be like, I could still watch this as an adult. Like, this still is pretty fucking, like, this was a writer's room.
There was a lot going on in there. Like, with, even, like, all those kid shows had, like, a lot of interesting shit going on that isn't going on. I mean, they're maybe better for kids to watch now because
now
they got early education. People involved and shit. But coming up, our Nickelodeon shit was fun. Like,
our shit was wild. Rocko's was wild. Rocko's, like, There were sex workers on Rocko's Modern Life.
Doug was so real. Like
Doug was real. Hey Arnold, all that shit. But like the game shows, like the smart thing about Nickelodeon was they was like, all right, what are the things that like kids are watching with their parents and like or their grandparents? And number one thing was game shows, and that was like a lot of their early programming. So like I equate watching game shows as family time, and like that's nostalgic.
Agreed.
And
because it's a slightly more active viewing than just watching a show, like my family always watched The Simpsons together, but we would just like laugh during it. But then we'd also watch Jeopardy together and we would like shout answers. And if I got one right, you know, my mom would be like, good work, Jonathan. You know, like it would mean a lot. But Nickelodeon game shows I keep thinking of as we say this is, I mentioned it earlier, but Wild and Crazy Kids. That one was really fun. Because they realize it's like, oh, you know, like stupid camp games that kids love? Yeah. Like we could just make that. And then I think an episode of Wild and Crazy Kids that I remember that I think was just absolutely perfect was tearing down like a big house. I remember it was just like, and it's like as a kid, that just activates your destructive vandalism gene in a way. But then also you find yourself being like a little more intelligent than you're like, no, aim for that stuff. That'll make more stuff fall. Like, you know, you have like strategy and that shit is just like before video games, like that shit was like, that expanded your mind. Just being like, how would I tear down this house faster? How would I shave that balloon without popping it? How would I jump off the high dive and make sure I landed in the ring? Like all these dumb Donnie Jeffcoat, Omar Gooding, and a woman.
Omar Gooding, bro. Yeah. I forgot
that was Cuba's brother, right?
That's Cuba's brother, yeah.
Fuck.
Also, and I used to love that show. They used to make me like, remember they would always, you would get a bat and you would put your head down on it and then spin around in a circle and then have to run like straight.
They would do dizzy bat all the time.
I would do that so much.
Yeah, and that shit just always works when you just like.
Always.
Like when you like hear people who go like, oh, you know, like I work in IT and we have like a field day or whatever, like a team bonding thing. That like dizzy bats are still around when you're like 40-something years old. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Shit still
and
works.
Like, why do we have so much fun doing that shit? Like, because it's fun. It's still fun. And
well, now we're grown-ups and we can like do mushrooms or eat an edible. But well, like when you're too. A kid, spinning around and getting dizzy was like the closest you could get to like altering your fucking mindset. Yeah, it's getting high as fuck. Sugar and spinning, dude. That was like a full summer. Yeah.
That was a full fucking summer. Those like ice pops that was colored, those colored ice pops we used to eat.
Oh, yeah, flavor
just like sugar
ice.
Water. Yeah. Sugar water, frozen.
Sugar
man,
water.
Man, that shit.
Sugar
Huggies.
Water. Oh.
Did you call them quarter cups or Huggies? What did you call like the little juice, the little
quarter
juices
waters.
That had the quarter waters, yeah.
Quarter
yeah,
waters. They had like the tin foil peel off and they were like barrel shaped.
Yep.
A blue quarter water was the dream, dog. If I could get a blue quarter water,
so
I was
good.
In heaven.
Give me a grape one and I'm set for life, bro.
Oh, dude, that shit that
so
shit probably
good.
Fucked our sperm up for life. We have no idea.
Bro, we're all like infertile right now because we were drinking fucking like quarter waters and shit.
We got to get another atomic warhead. Like, are you sure? Yeah. I don't think it's good for your digestive
Are you
track.
Sure? You're going to have to like perfectly have the lady you sleep with on ovulation to get her pregnant.
Yeah,
if you
And you're just like 16. You're like, I don't give a fuck about having kids. Oh, like, oh this will never bite me in the ass as I get older.
Yeah, dude. Like, all that shit was so great, man. I do miss, like, I think kids today don't have many game shows to like. And like a lot of the game shows now. So here's the funny thing. I was on Celebrity Family Feud. I host a version of Feud, for instance, that is like the celebrity one where it's just a bunch of like people you know and not just regular people. Even though like for the second half, I get 5 members from the stage up. Like I love that aspect of the game, too. Like that's always the more fun part of the game for me is when the 5 regular folks come up to play whoever won the game. But like a lot of the game shows now are also just like celebrity based.
Right.
But not
like-
in the.
Like, it's like celebrity game night and shit because everything is celebrity-based. Commercials are celebrity-based. Reality shows are... Now, like, all the game shows are like, it's Will Arnett, Amy Sedaris, and their friends playing Pictionary or whatever. It's like regular people winning money was... I don't care about celebrities
so
winning
fun.
Money. I want to watch a fucking random person take home 60 grand because they're so good at fucking a dumb game. I want to watch...
Yes.
I want to watch a random gym teacher smoke nitro and laser in the joust on American Gladiators.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like watching a fucking normal person from a normal walk of life show up and just win 30 grand. That's
it's amazing.
Part of the fun. Part of the fun of game
it's
shows is watching
fun.
Someone. You could be like, that could be me. I could win 35 grand. Now, I mean, that, you know, inflation's a motherfucker. It's not that much anymore. But back in the day when you were just like,
back
shit,
in the day,
if I won that 20 G's, that $64,000 question, ooh, girl.
Yeah. That's one thing I got to shit on Family Feud for. Like, y'all been giving out $20,000 for about 25 years.
And that's for 5 people, too.
And that's for 5 people, bro. Yeah. Raise that shit up, man. Raise that shit up. You can give out $50,000. You give out $50,000 now. They give out $25,000 and a Ford Taurus. I'm like, you could give an Audi. You can give a Tesla now. Y'all got money, bro.
Show's going on for 50 years, yeah.
Yeah, y'all got fucking money, man. Y'all need to quit. But yeah, dude, it is all celebrity-based, which, and even the ones when we were growing up that had celebrities on them were regular people playing with celebrities, like, Hollywood Squares or
they were still like
Match Game.
There were still money or prizes to be won for the even Pyramid sometimes had a celebrity, but you would still be like the normal person with them guessing. Yeah,
Pyramid now is still like that. It's always one celebrity paired with like one like regular folk, which is fun. Like that's one reason I love. Like I put a prize on the line for like the game instead of just having people pay for play for fun because like. It is fun to like tell like a celebrity like cuz that's the thing too. If you're just playing for charity, you say, "Hey man, you still got your Olive Garden gift card, baby."
That reminds me, Tiffany's going out Tiffany's going back east a week before me. I should reach out to my team and try to square away a dinner that night.
You should. That would be very fun. I'm hope somebody took me on like to Olive Garden who won one of those. And like, she like hit me up and was like, you want to go? And I was like, yeah, I'll go. And she used like the Olive Garden gift card that she won at my game, which I thought was pretty fucking funny and genius. I was like, so I'm still paying for this. I pay for this meal. But in a sly way, you paid for it now. Like, it was very funny. Yeah. But it's cool, man, because you get to see people like, if I'm playing for charity, look, charity is great. Charity is so cool. But like, if I lose, it don't hit me in my soul. As right. opposed to if I'm playing for myself or if I'm playing to win somebody else money, like that competitive juice like really fucking kicks in. And that's the best.
I'm surprised how low, like, AKA $50 to Olive Garden will get me feeling competitive. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I'm like, all right, well, fuck, I kind of want to win now. I don't want to lose.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the best. That's my favorite part about game shows. That, and look, whenever there's a black family or a black contestant on a game show, I'm always rooting for them. Oh, no matter yeah. what. No matter what. I'm rooting for everybody black. Everybody black.
I always bet on black, just like Snipes says.
Always. Yes.
Chuckies, thank you so much for fucking coming on High and Mighty and talking. Bro, this is making me want to go watch game show highlights and also news reporter bloopers. I'll send you some more that I like.
Go watch the Chris P. Bacon. Like, just go watch it. You will laugh so hard watching that shit.
I'll check that out for sure.
I'll send it to you. Yeah. So funny.
So where can people find you or catch up with you, check you out if they want to?
I mean, look, man, you know, we got so many social media apps now. They're all popping up now. So whatever social media app you on, if you look up at Jacques Neal, and I'm on it, you'll find me there. And if you don't see me, then I'm not there.
I didn't know it would be a poem. I didn't know your plugs would be a poem, but
yeah,
I'm here for
my
it.
My plugs are a poem. Comedian Feud also. Come out to it. It's always a good-ass time if you're in L.A. And I think we're going to start live streaming it more, too. So.
Yeah. So people can find that. You'll link to the live stream on your shit. If you're in the L.A. area, you got to check out Comedian Feud Live at the Elysian. It's a good time.
Always a good ass time.
Oh, man. This was a real blast, dude. I'm so stoked to have you on, Jacques. Always. It's always fun to catch up
with you, bro. Thank you, bro. Hell yeah, man.
Hell yeah. Well, as for me, I got Action Boys, Patreon podcast, and 101 Places to Party Before You Die, now on Max. Hopefully still on Max as we're recording this. Bye, shitheads. I am mighty.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
In a part of the world where there are no rules.
Holy shit.
Holy shit, guys. Holy I'm so pumped.
I definitely have not watched this since I rented it on VHS in 92.
Strangers united by the threat of death.
We got all the fucking major players. Seagal.
Vladimir Putin is a good man.
Arnold.
Here, come. Give it to me.
I need you to cream pie me now.
Stallone.
People are loving this movie.
It's actually, it's got a lot of heart.
You're mentally irregular.
Now. Somewhere, somehow,
body blow, body.
Someone's gonna pay.
I would fucking love for my wife to like see me rip a guy's throat out.
But they didn't count on one thing.
This movie's fucking insane.
It's how you know it's a good movie. You have to do almost all the work yourself to figure it out.
Oh, there's a fantasy component. Yeah. There's some sword fighting.
There's some lightning.
Bam, 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 bam.
There's a new game in town.
You wake up after a few years, and then you don't even know who you are anymore.
We're going to be making Terminators. We're going to make a really great deal with the Xenomorphs.
What? I don't hate them, but I've been in a room here.
Yes, I understand.
This is now the 20th ending of the movie.
I am Dar.
I'm your dad.
Action Boys. Boys will be boys.
Subscribe here for bonus content and more free stuff from behind the paywall. To get new episodes, become a patron at actionboys.biz.
Do it! Do it!
Come on!
Do it now!